Chapter 1. Philip Townsend descended the stairs at a clipping pace, his hands skimming the broad railing and his feet clattering on the narrow wooden treads. He skipped the last step and landed on the threadbare oriental rug that had been in place for as long as the Townsends had owned Bowden House. Mrs. Mason, who'd held the role of housekeeper since his mother's death, paused at the entrance to the dining room to stare, a tray of Bowden's finest china in her hands. Philip's good mood threatened to flag under Mrs. Mason's vacant regard, that always seemed to mask belligerence. He knew he didn't need to answer to her, although she had held the position since he was a lad of 14. Nevertheless, he found it difficult to greet her with an air of authority. "Good morning, Mrs. Mason. You are washing the tea service again, I see." "Aye, 'tis the only way to keep the set from becoming caked with dust," was her reply, although she evaded his eyes when she said it. She must have been using the tea service again for her own personal enjoyment. "I trust you've not had any more misfortunes." Philip strove to keep the edge out of his voice. After all, the service was blessedly large, and goodness knew he had little use for it as a bachelor.
"Only a saucer, Mr. Townsend?"
Mrs. Mason ducked her gaze and shifted the teapot to the centre of the tray.
"No, the set has matching cups and plates, it does. What with there not being enough servants to keep Bowden running proper, these accidents are bound to happen."
"Well." Philip absently flicked the riding crop he held against his leg, then flinched at the sting. "That obstacle is sure to be cleared as soon as Miss Dawson arrives on Friday. She will set all to rights." The housekeeper only tightened her lips at the reminder of Philip's blessedly capable, angelic cousin, Sissy, who would arrive in 2 short days at Bowden House to serve as mistress, until Philip stumbled upon a suitable candidate for a wife. Mrs. Mason would not like it, as Sissy was sure to impose order and did not flee from the protests of fractious servants the way Philip did. He turned into the library without another word. From there, he heard Mrs. Mason cross the dining room and enter her small sitting room to the left of the butler's pantry, a pantry that currently had no butler to fill it. The cups rattled violently on the tray as she turned to close the door behind her, and Philip held his breath. There was no corresponding crash, and he released it in an exhale as he crossed the library toward the informal sitting room. In it lay the main door to the outside. No footman stood in attendance, of course, but at least Jim had the insufficiency of servants as an excuse for his absence from his post. The lone footman was, at present, one of only 5 male servants, and the other 4 were employed on the land and in the stables. Bowden's challenge of inadequate or inefficient servants was becoming pressing. Outdoors, an untidy garden stretched before Philip, with weeping silver lime trees serving as tall, stately sentries at the park's limits. Beyond the front garden, the land was flat and faded in colour, but for the yellow-green leaves on the trees dotting the countryside. However, the late August sunlight sent a shimmer of golden beauty to the landscape that could not help but restore Philip's cheerfulness. He was of a naturally sanguine disposition, and therefore the increasing challenges of running a household as a bachelor could only dampen his mood for so long. After all, Sissy's arrival with her mother promised an end to Philip's troubles, and her brother would spend the first month with them as well. Theo was his favourite cousin, if not his favourite person altogether. Philip's gaze roamed the shaggy lawn adjacent to the stables and carriage house. The stables were extensive, and it was his goal to fill them. For now, however, they held only his prized stud, a match pair, his roan gelding, and 2 dray horses. He entered and went to stand between the stalls of the latter 2 and held out his palms, with sections of an apple in each. The shires gobbled them up before bending their heads to sniff at his coat. Philip laughed. "Don't be greedy, fellows. A man's pockets are only so big, and there are 6 of you." He inspected the thoroughbred's eyes next, as he stroked his muzzle, then called out over his shoulder to the groom, who was readying Philip's gelding to ride. "His eye contagion appears to have resolved with the treatment."
"Aye," the groom answered. "The hot poultice thrice daily, though he didn't like it."
"I'm sure he didn't." Philip gave the sight 1 last look, then leaned over to kiss the horse's forehead, a spontaneous gesture, but not one that made him feel foolish. Although Crown Glory had yet to prove himself, the stud had already turned a small profit by siring a local foal, besides being a handsome stallion with a surprisingly sweet disposition,